Sometimes in between liturgical seasons, we have sort of a transition Sunday or two. And when we transition from that long 90-day Paschal season, Lent and Easter, transition back into ordinary time, there are a couple of Sundays that we call Solemnities of the Lord in Ordinary Time. And today is Trinity Sunday, and then next Sunday is Corpus Christi, or the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ. And so Trinity Sunday is that one day of the year we just honor and celebrate and think about and reflect and pray about the triune God. And we talk about that all the time. It's all through the liturgy. Everything is Trinitarian. It's just part of who we are as Christians. We're baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We recognize the presence of all three persons of the Trinity in Mass. But it's good for us to reflect a little bit more deeply on it and give thanks to God for this mystery on this Sunday. We've said here often that in the Trinity, in the three persons of God, there is no self-concern. They are each laying down their lives for the other two and receiving back that complete self-gift from the other two. And which comes first doesn't make any difference. It's a simultaneous relationship of dying and rising. The complete self-offering and the receiving of the gift of self-offering back from the other two. That's what love is. That's what God is. God is not so much a being as a relationship. This dance, this inner communion between the three distinct persons is who God is. And if we are created in God's image and likeness, then that also has a lot to do with who we are. Reflecting on the triune Godhead helps us understand who we are. And in a nutshell, in God, there is distinction of three separate persons who are so inside of each other, who are giving themselves to each other and receiving back so powerfully, infinitely, in fact, that they are one. And we, who often think of ourselves as individuals and separate from others and separate from God, and we often think of God as being so far up there and so distant from us that we dare not approach God, or that God couldn't possibly be interested in little old me. But the Trinity reminds us that it's all about union. It's not about separation and distinction as much as it is about union. And so we are in more union with God than we often realize, and the liturgy celebrates that, and one of the reasons we need to be here on a consistent basis is because we need to celebrate that and believe that and have that wash over us over and over again so we don't forget. Because the world is all about separation. It's all about division. It's all about disharmony. One nation against another, one race against another, one ideology against another. Old, young, liberals, conservatives, white, black, Asian. I mean, the world is all about separation. But we Catholic Christians, we have to remind ourselves by being here every Sunday that it's really not about separation, it's about union. And we celebrate here our communion with God and our communion with one another. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean that we agree with each other. Our unity is in God. It isn't in whether we agree with each other or not. I may not even like everybody in this room. And it doesn't make any difference. And you may not like me, and that doesn't make any difference, because our union isn't that we agree or that we're all beautiful or significant in any way. God is our unity. And to celebrate sacramental communion is to celebrate that truth, that reality, so that we don't forget that. And so that our distinctions and our separations and our differences kind of melt away in favor of the union, which is exactly what's happening in God all the time. The distinction between the three persons is constantly melting away into union with each other. But it all has to do with self-gift. If you're not concerned about yourself, then you can give yourself completely. You have that freedom to do that. And Jesus, the Son, incarnated into our human flesh, shows us in human form what that looks like. That he never has a concern for himself, but only for the other people around him. He does not guard his own self-will, but is always giving himself over to the will of the Father. He doesn't take charge of his own life because he allows the Spirit to drive him out into the desert to be tested for 30 days. He allows the Spirit to baptize him, to hover over him and announce his mission. There's just complete self-offering. That's who Jesus was, to show us who God is eternally, but also to show us who we are. So one of the ways we practice that and ritualize that liturgically every Sunday is the essence of participation in the Mass is self-offering. Now we remind you that you should be singing, and you stand and you sit and you kneel and you do all these things, but those aren't ends in themselves. Those are simply tools, instruments to lead you into self-offering, because self-offering is what it's all about. And so when those gifts of bread and wine and the sacrificial offerings, the money, when they come down, they represent us. Because we are going to get laid on that altar along with Christ. We commemorate the complete self-offering that he gave for our salvation on the cross. And we join it. We join ourselves to it. And at least ritually, despite our sins and despite our weakness and our fears and all the things that would keep us from self-offering, at least we offer it sacramentally on the altar at Mass. I love that line from the first reading. Moses says to God, after experiencing this amazing vision of God and the announcement of who God is, he falls down and worships, and he says, Lord, these are a stiff-necked people, but if you are compassionate, please do come along in our company. And God says, sure. We are stiff-necked people. We're still under the effects of original sin. No matter how gloriously we may talk about this here in the liturgy, we don't delude ourselves. We know that we're still sinners. And we know that in this life, on this side of the kingdom, we're probably never going to be able to offer the complete gift of ourselves. Oh, it is done rarely, like in martyrdom, when people give their lives for the faith. But in a hundred tiny little ways, it's happening in us, and it's good for us to be aware of that. All the sacrifices that you make in marriage, you're laying down your life for another person. You're saying that in some ways this person is more important than I am. I'm giving my life to this person. And when children are born into a family, the sacrifices that are made, a lot of that we don't think too much about. It's just you have to change the diapers, you have to do this, you have to do that, and you have to run children around to all their various activities. But once in a while, it's good to stop and reflect. I'm really ultimately doing that because I'm a child of God, and because that's who God is laying down of life. And of course, we receive back in many ways more than we give, and that's Trinitarian too, because the Trinity is always receiving back more, because each of those persons is getting it from two others. And so when you give yourself to another in marriage, you are getting back more than you are giving. And when you raise children, you're getting back more than you're giving. and priests and religious sisters and brothers, they give their lives to the church, but oh my gosh, we get back so much more than we give. Ministry happens 100 different ways. It's all ministry. Some of it's ordained ministry, some of it's not, but it's all baptismal ministry. The living out of our baptismal call to be one with God and to be one with each other.